It is 1:30 on the dot, and it is Tuesday, February 7th, Senate Labor and Commerce, and with us today is Senator Van Stevens, Senator Ellis, and myself, Senator Bundy, and Senator Betty Davis. On our schedule today, we have, and Senator Seekins. We have Senate Bill 136, Unemployment Insurance, and we have a CS to adopt, and two new bills, Senate Bill 260, Extending the Work Task Force on Workers' Comp, and 244, No Discrimination Against Acupuncturists. Oh, and so that I don't forget, on Thursday we're holding confirmation hearings for various boards and commissions. We'll be over at the LIO conference room in the Terry Miller building for this meeting, so we can use the video conference, teleconferencing equipment. We also have DCCED Commissioner Knoll, along with the appointees for the new Workers' Comp Appeals Commission, on video conference for that hearing. We'd like to begin at 1:30, so if you could plan your time accordingly and make it over to Terry Miller by 1:30. With that, we have a CS for Senate Bill 136, and if I could have a motion to adopt the CS.
So moved.
Without objection, we have the CS before us, and this was some work that I had asked to be done, and I'll speak to the CS. The only change, really, is the addition of the verbiage actively seeking work, and would invite the committee's members' attention to the bill analysis, the white paper that I have with the bill analysis, and it defines actively seeking work. I have been convinced that this will address what I have called the rocking chair problem, which may not be a huge problem, but could be a problem in some cases. The commissioner mentioned that he sees all these ads, want ads for work, and seem to be going on filled, so that this may indeed address that and get people to be a little more, or some people, I'm sure that not all are in that category, but some people be a little more proactive in seeking work. We do have Tom Nelson here and Pat Shire, who with Department of Labor, available for questions. Would one of you like to address the actively seeking work and fill in what I might have left out from our discussions prior to the meeting?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Nelson, the Director of the Employment Security Division, and the change in SB 136 is, as we interpret it, allows the department to better register and connect job seekers promptly with the labor market, and also the job center network, helping workers that perhaps have barriers to employment to quickly get reemployed.
And could you give us a little background on the computerization of this job search that we talked about?
Mr. Chairman, certainly. Currently, we have a system called Worker Profiling and Reemployment Services. And what that does is help us identify, through a series of indicators, such as employment history, unemployment claims, overtime, the industry itself, and it helps us identify those persons most likely to exhaust their benefits before they are able to get reemployed again. And so this change will allow us to lower that bar and actually help and reconnect more workers to the labor market and allow the employers to reach in and connect with those workers also.
As I understand it, using this system, and there is a proviso for people who are not within 55 miles of a job center, so that they have an opportunity via kind of a circuit rider to take advantage of your services. Now, as I understand it, this system prevents people who aren't serious about getting a job from going pestering someone to just sign their card so they can say, yeah, I actually looked for a job. Now give me my unemployment check.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that is correct. We found that the old work search concept of the past really doesn't work well for employers. And just to digress a little bit, that was a system where to obtain a federal or a state benefit or of one sort or another, workers were required to go ask an employer for a job or to sign off on a check sheet indicating they were looking for a job, whether they were serious about employment or not. And so blowing the dust off old language is good for our division, at least, in that we will be able to connect people via our proposed electronic labor exchange system that we have in the works, and also be better able to register workers for work and provide the labor exchange and refer people to work.
And for the record, as I understand it, should you dispatch someone via this computer hookup to apply for a job and they refuse to comply, then their benefits are cut off?
Their benefits certainly would be in jeopardy, yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. All previous exemptions to registration and appeal processes, due process for special circumstances still apply.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we're not going to ask someone to do a job they can't do. But if they're qualified for the job and refuse to comply with basically you're dispatching them, their benefits then would be terminated or could be terminated.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Other questions for Mr. Nelson? Seeing none, I see the commissioners here. Commissioner, would you like to share your wisdom with us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Greg O'Clary, the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. The amendment that the committee is reviewing at this point, I think, is important. And I want to just give you some information that may help you decide this. We're not trying to, as you say, put people into jobs they're not qualified for. But we are concerned about connecting unemployed workers with job opportunities. At the present time, as of last week, there are 3,200 vacant jobs in the state that we have job orders for in our 24 job centers. So what we're trying to do is do a better job of making that information available to not only employers, but those that are drawing benefits. Because I think you've heard testimony before this committee and others on the bill you're hearing that no one chooses unemployment benefits over work, and I believe that's true. But we're just trying to do a better job of connecting unemployed workers with job opportunities. It still, Mr. Chairman, is the employer's option whether they hire these folks or refer to them or not.
And you say 3,200 vacancies that need filling. And how many people do we have on UI right now?
I think the latest figure was about 27,000 statewide. Is that right? That's a good...
With a 10-to-1 odds, maybe... maybe we can and should push a little harder.
Well, certainly the department's willing to make that extra effort. I'm frankly surprised that I haven't been keeping track of those vacancies. It came to my attention really through reading of the weekly reports that come from the job centers from all across the state. Here's an example. In Bethel, we have 86 job, or not Bethel, in Barrow, we have 86 open job orders right now in Barrow.
And how many people on UI?
I don't have those numbers for you today, but I asked
probably more than 86.
I would suspect.
Yeah. Well, and none of what we've talked about here impacts the union dispatch that is traditional in Alaska and will continue.
No, because, Mr. Chairman, because the unions do a much better job of actually getting their people lined up for employment than than other organizations. They've had that exemption in the law for many, many years, and it's been a very effective exemption. It actually takes the workload off the job centers to have them doing, you know, out hustling jobs for their folks.
We appreciate the help. Questions for the commissioner? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you for the courtesy,
appreciate
Mr. Chairman.
Coming by. Further, is there anyone else here like to testify on Senate Bill 136? Further discussion? Ah, yes, my extended memory has added that, for the record, there is no new fiscal note for this change, that it is what the job centers consider their job, and will continue to do it to connect workers. And
Mr. Chairman, thank you for working on the bill and your staff, working with my staff to get this in shape, so I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Would you like to make a motion?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, if there's no further discussion, I'll move that the bill advance to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Without objection? Well, that's right. I always like to call the roll anyway. So we'll do that anyway. Would you call the roll, please, Jane? That's our first bill to move out of committee. I'm out of sequence.
Foot dragger.
Out of practice.
Yeah.
You dragging feet again.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Senator Davis.
Yes.
Senator Ellis.
Yes.
Senator Seekins.
Yes.
Senator Bundy.
Yes. So we send 136 on its way to its next committee or referral. And Senator Seekins, we do have some work of yours that needs attention. So that brings us to Senate Bill 260. And Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very simple bill. Last year, we, as part of Senate Bill 130, established a workers' comp task force to look at improvements in the workers' comp system. The bill did not leave the governor's office till late in the year, which gave a short period of time for the task force to be able to work. We have a preliminary report that's been given to the legislature now. But as we went through this and worked with it, members of the task force believe that there's a lot of information that we were not able to get in the short period of time that needs to be considered and collected, and first collected, then considered, and have a very solid group, working group in that task force of very diverse makeup, and the members and I, as the Senate chair, and Representative Lynn as the House chair, believe that the best thing that we can do at the moment is to extend this task force to work on the workers' comp system for another year, and be able to come back with recommendations for the legislature. We're providing some now, but there's additional areas that need to be considered and looked at, which we were not able to do in the time allotted. Very simply, that's what the bill does, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I have to say, a simple bill like this, a simple effort, I'm amazed that you didn't finish your work on time.
That's right.
Any questions for Senator Seekins? Any other testimony? Would the committee be comfortable moving this bill today? Normally we don't, but it's a pretty simple bill.
I'd move Senate Bill 260 from committee with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Do we have a fiscal note?
Yep, zero.
We do. Okay, zero fiscal note. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. All right, Jane?
Senator Davis?
Yes.
Senator Seekins?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Ellis?
Yes.
Senator
Bundy? Yes. We are production-oriented.
Yep.
Brings us to Senate Bill 244, Senator Wagner. No discrimination against acupuncture.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members. First, I'd like to say this is a simple bill, and it only costs one medium-sized tree to generate, so we're improving things.
Yeah, that's usually a kiss of death to call it a simple bill.
Yeah. With health care costs rising and the general health of the public decreasing, people are looking for other ways to receive medical services.
One place that's worth looking into is adding licensed acupuncturists to the list of healthcare providers that can not be unfairly discriminated against by insurance companies that offer group policies. And acupuncture, when used alone or in conjunction with conventional Western medicine, has proven to have a significant cost savings while improving patients' health. For instance, in 1993, a study in Sweden showed that an estimated $26,000 per patient was saved when acupuncture was part of their treatment. And a study was done on patients scheduled for knee surgery that showed an estimated $9,000 in savings per patient. And some were able to cancel their surgeries and forego that type of treatment. In workers' compensation cases involving lower back pain, a significantly larger number were able to return to their original or equivalent jobs after receiving acupuncture treatment along with standard care. Acupuncture has been cited by the World Health Organization to treat over 43 conditions: asthma, allergies, back pain, carpal tunnel, depression, headaches, heart problems, etc. Senate Bill 244 makes it possible for Alaskans to have the option of choosing acupuncture as part of the health care plan. And I'd just like to, in the backup material, I'd like to read a couple other items for you. One of them is from a study done with 575 respondents, and these are people who have received acupuncture treatment. 91.5% of the respondents reported disappearance or improvement of symptoms after acupuncture treatment. 84% said they see their medical doctors less often as a result of acupuncture treatment. 79% said they use fewer prescription drugs as a result of acupuncture treatment. And 70% of those to whom surgery had been recommended by a conventional medical doctor said they avoided surgery through the use of acupuncture. And one other, I thought was very significant. One other fact, in Miami-Dade County, drug offenders have a choice of acupuncture or jail. So it works in various avenues. So with that, I'll answer any questions I can.
Questions for Senator Wagner?
We do have some folks with us today for further testimony.
Number of people that would like to testify. Yeah. We don't have any questions at the moment. If you would stay with us in case they come up, we'll go on to testimony. Suzanne Cohen, please. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. And boy, things move fast around here. I'm impressed. But thank you. My name is Suzanne Cohen. I'm a licensed acupuncturist. I live here in Juneau. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak for this bill, Senate Bill 244. Looking through your packet of info, I noticed one of the things that isn't really described is the education that goes into becoming an acupuncturist. It is not a series of weekend seminars. It's a 3 to 4 year master's degree program. There are about 60 schools in the United States right now that are accredited to educate people in Oriental medicine and acupuncture. And after graduating from one of these programs, there is then a national licensing program. The National Certification Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine does an exam and then monitors people who have become certified, mandating continuing education 60 hours every 4 years, and there are licensing renewals at that time. The state of Alaska mandates having your national certification, and most states do, so that's just a piece of it. Other states go on and have further requirements. But that aside, I just wanted to mention, in 1995, we did this exact same bill, and it languished in committee. It went nowhere. There were all sorts of attachments that came on, and it didn't go anywhere. I was, at that time, a little bit saddened at the end of that session, but I also had the sense that we're still a very young profession, and we've got a lot of education to do of the public. It's been over 10 years now, and a lot has happened in those 10 years. The FDA used to categorize acupuncture needles as experimental devices. Now they are regulated alongside scalpels, syringes, and other tools of the medical trade. The National Institute for Health has endorsed acupuncture for over 13 health conditions, from addiction to stroke rehabilitation, osteoarthritis to tennis elbow, and on. Insurance companies, it was almost unheard of, for covering acupuncture at that time. Now our very own Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska has plans which include acupuncture coverage. And in 1992, I was only the 8th licensed acupuncturist here in the state of Alaska. Now there are over 69 licensed acupuncturists living in Alaska and 75 that are licensed to practice here. Currently, at the federal level, we have in the House of Representatives a Bill 818, which is the Federal Acupuncture Coverage Act, and it would cover federal employees and those receiving Medicare. One of the things I wanted to add is this, I believe, is a zero fiscal note bill. It would really do is expand treatment options for people here in the state of Alaska. It's not going to change what gets treated. If someone has back pain, they'll have a choice now of who to see. Acupuncture is extremely effective and it's extremely safe. So I really urge you to support this bill. Thank you.
Tell me more about the treatment for stroke. That seems quite a unique way to treat stroke.
Oh, it's a fascinating way. It's usually using scalp points, acupuncture points on the scalp. It's most effective to administer as quickly after the stroke as possible. I've worked with a few patients here in Juneau myself, and mostly what I have seen is greatly increasing mobility and speech, in increasing the speed at which it comes back, and also in studies that I've seen when comparing groups, the mobility is greater after you've received acupuncture than in groups that have not received it, and it also stays that way. It's not something that's just a short-lived effect.
And who do you think might oppose this bill?
I'm imagining we might hear from insurance companies. That's the only thing I can think of. That's what it was 10 years ago. So,
Senator Ellis has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nicotine addiction and all the attendant health costs are a huge cost driver for state and other governments and business as well. Do you have any experience with the use of acupuncture in smoking cessation?
Absolutely. I worked actually in a program down in Oregon where they had a choice of going to jail or going for acupuncture. And it wasn't just smoking cessation, it was alcoholism. Crack addiction was very big at that time. And it was used in a clinic situation there. I've also worked at Gastineau Human Services using it. It's a very effective way to minimize costs. It's something that needs to be used alongside other modalities, such as Al-Anon or the various other alcohol or treatment modalities that they have. But it's extremely effective when doing so. There's a lot where I worked, they were really tracking recidivism because most of the drug addiction folks were criminals in other regards too, and there was a lot less recidivism in the groups that received acupuncture along with counseling. So, very effective.
Thank you. And focusing on the nicotine, which I understand is one of the most addicting substances, and of course it's socially acceptable, what's the success rate in helping people stop smoking with acupuncture?
I don't know what studies have shown, actually, and maybe one of my coworkers here might have those statistics. But speaking anecdotally from my own practice, it works very well.
Okay. Other questions? If not, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Leah, I'm having trouble reading your last name. If you'd join us, please. Identify yourself for the record, and if you would spell your last name for the secretary, please.
My name is Leah Pagankoff, Pagenkopf. And I'm a physical therapist practicing for 15 years, and I'm just here to let you know that I'm a huge proponent for acupuncture, because in my practice, I feel often frustrated and limited in what I can offer patients for pain relief. Pain control with their orthopedic surgeries is the area I most often work with. And I will suggest to a patient to get acupuncture so that they can have pain control without narcotics or anti-inflammatories. And the first question out of their mouth every time is, does insurance pay for it? And I have to say no, and that's usually the end of the conversation. They don't want to hear any more about it. Those patients of mine who are people of means, I can usually kind of sense that, and I will continue to encourage it because I know that perhaps they will pay for it out of their pocket. But I'm just amazed at how effective it is for pain control with no side effects, whereas our narcotics are all habit-forming, and anti-inflammatories create stomach problems, high blood pressure, and other side effects. So that's why I'm here today, just to let you know that it's been my experience that it works fantastic for pain control.
Questions for Leah? If not, thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Stevens, did you have a question?
Fine, thank
you. And Valerie? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Valerie DeLon. I live here in Juneau. I have lived here for 22 years. We always say that in Juneau. I don't know what you guys usually do, but whenever you testify, you say how long you've lived here, as if it, you know, means more if you've lived here longer.
Indexing your expertise.
Thank you all for being willing to hear this bill, and thanks to Senator Wagoner for sponsoring it, and Beth Curtula, Representative Curtula, is also sponsoring the same bill in the House, and we're really grateful that we found a few people who are willing to take this up again. Just kind of dovetailing on what Leah said, it does work well in conjunction with other therapies. There are many times when I refer to physical therapists or doctors or chiropractors, I know that I can't do everything with acupuncture. No one therapist or one type of modality can do everything. A doctor can't do everything. So I think it's really great when therapists are willing to refer to each other, know the limitations of their own medicine, and know when to refer out to another provider. But there are a lot of things that acupuncture can help with that other modalities can't help with, just as other modalities, like I can't adjust somebody, a chiropractor can. But there are a lot of things that acupuncture really shines at that aren't addressed by other modalities. There is a lot of cost savings, as Suzanne Cohen mentioned. I know that I personally have, and by the way, I am an acupuncturist, if you haven't guessed that yet. I personally have saved insurance companies thousands of dollars by preventing somebody that was slated to have surgery, perhaps for a herniated disc, and getting them to the point within a few months where they were pain-free and did not have to have surgery. It will not always prevent surgery, but there are many cases where it can. Or it can help prepare somebody for the surgery and help them heal more quickly afterwards and work well in conjunction with physical therapy, which is often prescribed after, or I guess pretty much always prescribed after surgeries these days. Many companies are voluntarily covering acupuncture now in this state. We are actually already one of the better states as far as insurance coverage. When Suzanne mentioned that, well, when you asked whether we'd get any objections, she said maybe the insurance companies. We're not really sure if that's true anymore because so many of them have already decided on their own to cover it because of the success. And it's unlikely they would be voluntarily covering it if they hadn't already figured out for themselves that it saves money. I don't want to speak for them, that you know they may come up and say something else, but the other thing is that it is the number one requested service by patients in the United States as far as what they want their insurance companies to cover. So that's the other reason the insurance companies may be covering it voluntarily. You know, a lot of people that work for the state, they're mad at the insurance company for not covering acupuncture, but it's really the people who buy the insurance plan that buys what the plan will cover. So if the state of Alaska I guess it's now GGU is now covered by the health trust, but let's say some small company in town went to Blue Cross and said, we want an insurance plan that covers acupuncture. Blue Cross, as Suzanne pointed out, now has a particular plan that covers acupuncture. They get covered, they get 12 visits a year, and I believe the coverage is 85%. Auto accidents, if somebody has a personal injury case, they are covered for acupuncture. The Alaska Electrical Health and Welfare Fund covers acupuncture at 90% per visit, and there's no limit on the number of visits, but they do only cover it for pain treatment. Blue Cross has this plan. It's called the Dimensions Plan, Alaska Heritage Plus, and there are several small companies in Juneau that have bought this plan, AELMP for the non-union members, the Alaska Bar Association, the Alaska Public Employees Association, the Alaskan Brewery, Catholic Community Services of, they have one of California, they don't cover very much of it, Gasno Human Services, Perseverance Theater, Tlingit Haida Regional Authority, Wildflower Court, which is a convalescent home, I believe. The City and Borough of Juneau School District, the school teachers have one of the best plans for covering acupuncture in the state of Alaska. They have unlimited visits. They are covered as long as it's something that's determined to be medically necessary, so that's any kind of physical health problem generally. And they are covered at 85%. Federal Express has a plan that covers it. Workers' compensation covers acupuncture. There is one federal plan right now that covers it, and that is the mail handlers plan. And so federal employees can choose from a list of health insurance providers, and even if they don't work for the Postal Service, they can select the mail handlers plan, and they've got a good plan. The Internal Revenue Service recognizes acupuncturists as providers that can be covered by health care reimbursement accounts, also known as medical savings accounts. So, you know, if the IRS recognizes this, why not the state of Alaska? Do you have any questions?
That's why I want to be in that company. Any questions for Valerie? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony.
All right, thank you.
We'll go on teleconference now. We have Randy Lucas in Anchorage. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Would you identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony, please?
My name is Randy Lucas. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you very much for your time you have offered to allow a hearing of testimony. I am asking for your support in Senate Bill 244. I'm a licensed acupuncturist in Alaska, and I live in Anchorage. I am nationally board certified by the National Certification Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine in acupuncture and Chinese herbs. I have also been a registered nurse for over 20 years, and I've specialized in cardiac care, working in emergency departments, intensive care units, and cardiac cath labs. Currently, I am president of the Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine Association of Alaska, fondly called DALMAC, and medicine is my life and passion. Suzanne and Valerie have very adequately explained the technical side and the issues involving this bill, and I'm going to cover more of the passionate side of it because it is my passion. And during the past 6 years in private practice, I have worked on many patients with acute and chronic conditions. Often, their medical doctors have told them that nothing else can be done, so they turn to us for help. Every day at work, I see patients leave my clinic feeling better than when they came in, experiencing less pain, less need for medications, improved sleep, and they handle stress much easier. Generally, everything gets better, as well as their chief problem that they come in for. But more importantly, they have improved quality of life. Please understand that acupuncturists were most likely overlooked as providers in the Alaska statute on unfair discrimination. Of course, insurance companies ultimately decide whether to include acupuncture in their plans. This bill will eliminate the discrimination we experience when insurance companies state acupuncture is covered only when performed by an MD or not covered at all. Thank you very much for listening and your time and efforts in this matter. I urge you to pass Senate Bill 244, and I would be honored to answer your questions at any time.
I don't see any questions right now, Randy, but we thank you for your testimony. And we'll go online to Kenai. Courtney?
My name is Courtney Beto. I'm the owner of Alaska Center of Natural Medicine. I'm an acupuncturist. I also hold a master's degree in Oriental Medicine and a bachelor's of science in health sciences and healthcare management. I think everybody has sufficiently stated the things that need to be brought to your attention as to why you need to support this bill. I also find that it was interesting that we are hearing some work comp issues, because that is some of the most cited studies as far as reducing costs to worker compensation programs by allowing their employees to receive these benefits. I think given the state of some of our social issues, overdependency on narcotics, increased cost of health care, and those sorts of issues, that it's important that this be passed so that the consumers of medical services will actually have that choice. I think by passing this bill, it allows us to be better team players in an integrative medical field. Currently, Providence is starting an integrated medical department that will be bringing in acupuncture for their cancer patients. The Peninsula Hospital has also taken on an integrative approach, managerial style, to the Central Peninsula Hospital, and I know that they endorse this bill as well. And I think that it's just a matter of something being left through the cracks and being behind the times, where the insurance companies are already catching wind that it decreases costs to their company. Consumers are already consuming these services to the tunes of over $32 billion a year on out-of-pocket expenses. And I think this is just supporting our community in making choices for their health care, which is a good thing when your community begins taking proactive steps to being a healthier society. And like I said before, I think it helps us to be better team players in the medical field as far as offering pain management alternatives. Personally, I'm a specialist in physical rehabilitation and pain management. I often teach people exercises and techniques to get themselves out of pain when they can't come in for visits. I also end up having to donate a lot of my services, because I think it's important that people get the help that they need, and I'll make other ways of making my money in order to bring the services to clients. I moved to Soldotna from Coronado, San Diego, California. One of the biggest acupuncture schools is in San Diego, Pacific College of Oriental Medicine. They do a lot of outreach in AIDS and veterans clinics in San Diego. And I came up here to be a part of a medical team, and I thought it was going to be a great opportunity. The height of a career is being a part of a medical office. And I was really discouraged, because my patients would get their pain meds and then not show up for their appointments. And the patients who truly wanted to be out of pain made those appointments. The people who truly wanted pain medication and didn't want to take responsibility for the state of their life chose pain medication versus their treatments. I left that facility in 98 and have worked independently in the Soldotna area. I have my own custom facility that we've designed and built ourselves, so I'm highly vested in this career and feel very passionate about just helping people in general understand the human condition and how we can make it better for ourselves. I really appreciate Tom Wagner's willingness to bring this to the Senate. I had a great personal conversation with him, and I think it was through that personal contact that he saw that this is a true need for his community as well as the rest of the state. Ironically, state employees, I think, were one of the worst plans as far as covering acupuncture, and I think you're one of the biggest employers in the state, so I think that's kind of funny. And then on a personal note, this is to Senator Stevens. I actually spoke to your father at the Oak Ridge Boys concert 2 or 3 years ago in Anchorage and asked him what he thought about acupuncture. And he got to witness one of his colleagues receiving acupuncture in China when they were doing a business trip. And he had a sciatic nerve problem rear up, and they hauled him into one of those funny little Chinese clinics and watched him get treated, and he finished the rest of his tour quite successfully. I've actually emailed him to ask him to email the committee to give him his word of endorsement for this bill as well. So hopefully that will come in, and if you have any questions, ask your dad about that trip. It was a great conversation that I had with him. I don't really have, I think my colleagues have stated the hard facts sufficiently enough. And I just thank you for your time. And I also think that this is an appropriate time to pass this bill because it's coming with bipartisan support and is actually being reviewed in each House and Senate simultaneously, and it would be great for the community of Alaska. Thank you.
As someone who hasn't availed myself of the services, if someone comes in for, and I'm asking for a very generalized question here, so answer best you can, please, comes in for some pain management services. I've heard a couple of times in testimony that people might not be able to afford it on their own. What kind, how expensive is the treatment for a normal course of treatment for pain management?
Acupuncture for the first time has just been governed by the 15 minute per unit, so that's been a new thing. It can range anywhere from $40 all the way up to $160 based on the time and number of areas that we're treating. So if you're in a car accident and have multiple injury sites from low back, knee, neck, head, shoulder, then those prices would go up based on the amount of time that you're being seen by that patient. But if it's a relatively simple situation or one location, it could be as low as $60.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Don't see any other questions, but we do want, is this rebuttal now?
No,
oh, please, come to the mic.
It's an apology for the IRS comment.
This is Valerie DeLotte again, for those of you who are listening on the air. And I just thought of a couple more things that none of us had mentioned yet. Suzanne mentioned that we are licensed by the state of Alaska, and there are certain educational requirements we have to meet before we can be licensed. And as far as the list of providers that cannot be discriminated against, as far as I know, we are the only professional licensed by healthcare professional licensed by the state of Alaska that is not on that list. And the other thing is that maybe, back to the question of who might oppose this, maybe 10, 20 years ago, we might have gotten a lot of resistance from the medical, Western medical profession. A few years ago, I saw an article in the paper that stated that over 85% of Western medical colleges have elective courses in Eastern medicine now. So it's really being supported by the Western medical community. I get a lot of referrals from doctors. Fortunately, there's doctors out there that know that they can't do everything, too, and that they need the help of other types of providers.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to testify on this bill? Anybody from Providence want to testify? Okay. Well, as it was mentioned earlier. Well, I am surprised we haven't heard any opposition, and we'll hold the bill for to give an opportunity for anybody else that would like to testify until a week from today. And then we'll address it again. So just a reminder, Thursday in the Terry Miller LIO video conference room, if there's nothing more to come before the committee, at 2:15 we'll stand adjourned.